Something kept saying, "You're just starting. Press the battle. Just keep pressing." I shook my head a minute. I thought, well, I probably just thinking like this. You know, your persons can get some imaginations. And I said, I just probably imagine that. It said, "Press the battle. Keep going. Keep going." I said, maybe I said it. And I put my lips within my teeth and put my hand over my mouth. And there it come again and said, "Just keep pressing. If you only knew what was at the end of the road."
Hallelujah. Let's all stand and sing that very song. Brother Kaijun comes to bring the word of life. You ready for the word of God? Amen. Let's just sing that together. I know that's your prayer. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, let's press on. I don't care how great the battle is. We expect the salmon to return to their spawning ground, don't we? We got to go against the current to do that. Amen. I want to go right back to the very thought that God had of me in the beginning. And I want a glorified body to match that thought. Amen. Let's just get our hearts ready now. Let's just worship Him. Let's raise our hands and sing that to Him.
Oh, yeah.
The glory, you alone are.
give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Saying, if God don't do anything else, He's done enough.
Amen.
Amen. So how grateful should we be to be able to come, feel His liberty, amen. You know, a lot of people all over the world are being persecuted just to come to service and worship God. But we can freely come, amen. How many freely came tonight? Amen. Nobody put a gun to your head and say you're going to church. I know sometimes as young people it feel like that, but amen, you freely come, amen. Hallelujah, we are glad to be here in Lima, Ohio. Amen, again, we appreciate your pastor, Brother Jeff, amen. He's such a wonderful brother, amen. How many love your pastor? Amen. No matter what people might say, stick behind your shepherd if you got a revelation. Amen. And we just want to give God the glory. It's good to have my wife and my family with me, amen. I got my own little army that travels with me when I go out. Amen. But we're going to just have a word of prayer and we're going to get right into the scripture, amen. Because just like you, I want to hear from God. Let's just bow, amen. If you have a need, why don't you take it to the Lord by uplifted hand, amen. Lord Jesus, Father, we're entering in tonight. Just thanking you for your everlasting mercies, Lord. Lord, and your grace that doesn't sway to the left or to the right. But Lord, your grace meets us head on, Lord. And Lord, we know, Father, if we come, Lord, pleading your precious blood, Lord. Father, that we'll reap the benefits of that blood, Lord, that life that stands behind that faith that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bless this church, Lord, and all the members and all the family members. And Lord God, and all the members of the bride that may have come out tonight, Lord, and the different pastors and ministers, Lord, stand here to support, Lord, what you're doing, Lord. And Lord God, most of all, Lord, we just pray that you would have the preeminence, Lord. Lord, search us tonight, Lord, and find anything that shouldn't be. Remove it with something new and refreshing, Lord. Lord, that it might bring forth that seed that was planted before the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do thus far. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you who have your Bibles. Amen. Let's go into the scripture. Let's read. Kind of betwixt. Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus, the second chapter. How many believe you're going to hear from God tonight?
Amen.
You know that's up to you now.
That's right.
I'm just a tool up here. Right, Brother Erickson?
That's right.
Amen. Exodus 2, let's start at verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groans, and God remember his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. See, their cry and their groaning because of their persecution made God remember something that he had already spoken. It's saying God looked upon the children of Israel and God had respect unto them. Now, that respect right there that God had means that I got to do something for these people. Amen. I've heard their cry and I see their bondage and all the things that they're going through. Now I got to do something.
Amen.
Brother Branham said in the message, proving his word, he said that he told Joshua them to march around the building, but he didn't tell them every step all at once. But he gave them one step at a time. And whenever they done what he told them, the next step belonged to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I put that out there because there's a lot of parents that's praying for your children. But if you've done what you're supposed to do, the next step belongs to God. Hallelujah. So don't fret. Don't worry about the things that's going on in the world. God got your back if you meet the criteria of his word.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to St. John first. St. John, the 15th chapter. How many feel the presence of the Holy Ghost?
Yes,
hallelujah. See, it don't take long for God to vindicate himself.
Amen.
St. John 15, verse 13. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me. Listen good. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Amen.
And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whosoever ye shall ask of the and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Amen.
These things I command you, that ye love one another.
Amen.
Romans 5. And I love this verse of the scripture right here. Let's start at verse 5. Romans 5 and 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For the righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die, even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord have blessed the reading of his word. You can have your seats. Amen. My subject tonight is when God remembers.
Amen.
But for my, I want to take a subtopic, the conditions of life. Amen. And I just pray that y'all pray with me, because I believe in just taking off and just letting God have his way.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we're playing with. Well, Jeff told me to be myself, so that's the only way I'm going to be a benefit to you, if I can be myself.
Amen.
Amen. But tonight we want to talk about when God remembers, but the conditions of your life. See, the scriptures that we read, it talks about a certain condition that a people were in. Amen. And the conditions of this world, and we didn't hear Brother Jeff talked about it. We heard the song leader talk about the different conditions and the things that's going on in this world and what's going on right now. You know, we look at the conditions of the world, young people, that it's parents are afraid for you in school because there are so many different things going on. They're bringing guns to school. You got homosexuality and all this other nonsense. Can I get an amen? See, this is the world that we live in with all this trouble going on. But at the same time, if the devil is being magnified like that, God is also on the scene.
Amen.
Wanting to be magnified in your life.
Amen.
Amen. But it takes a certain condition to get you ready for God to move in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you never have an experience with God, you'll never know that God is real. Amen. If you don't have any trouble in your life, you'll never be able to see God come to the rescue. That's why we were born as sinners. Hallelujah. So that God could show us how great his blood is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of us were liars. liars and cheaters and whoremongers and all these other different things. But God has come and cleaned us up.
Amen.
And now we stand here praying for the next generation.
Right.
Now, young people, look at your parents. And if your parents are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, if he's done it for them, he can also do it for you.
Amen.
For yet, while they were sinners, God loved them.
Amen.
And it's the same thing for you. While you are yet sinners or in a sinful condition, God's love is waiting.
Amen.
He's standing there on the side.
Amen.
God is just wanting to court you. He's wanting to get your attention.
Amen.
Young men, you know how you see a young lady in the church and she don't know who you are, but some kind of way you're going to make your presence known.
Yeah.
Some kind of way you're going to get her attention. Y'all know God is standing back like that?
Right. That's right.
God is standing back waiting for the opportunity to introduce himself.
Amen.
See, there's a lot of people out here in the world that have never heard of God. They know nothing of God. But for those of us that have a chance to meet him and have a relationship and even bring forth seed, how blessed should we be? How privileged people are.
Amen.
Amen. But I want to kind of talk about the love of God. Amen. The love of God that passes all understanding. How can a God that comes from glory, a God that knew no sin, a God that knew no wrong, a God that didn't have to take on flesh,
right,
took on flesh,
yes,
became sin for you and I,
yes,
that we could come to the service tonight and experience his love.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
The service tonight is about the love of God.
Amen.
How God, knowing that there's some young people in Lima, Ohio, there's some young people in this tabernacle that's struggling, but God has brought his love here.
Yes.
Amen. God has brought his love in the midst of your condition,
yes,
in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your wants and your worries. God has put his love right before your face.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And one thing about love, love suffers long. No matter how many times the preacher has preached right down your doorstep, that love will come back again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No matter how many times you've heard right and wrong, that love, it comes back again.
Amen.
And no matter how many times you take on another lover. You take on another lover. It might be basketball. It might be clothes and dressing pretty and bowls and plaques and all these other things. It might be football. It might be video games. No matter how much you have another love, God's love doesn't go anywhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, so this love is so powerful.
Hallelujah.
It's not able to be influenced.
Woo! Amen.
Now that's some powerful love. Well, you got a whole lot of other things going on in your life. This love just stands back and waits its turn. Why? Because this love is confident.
Yeah.
This love is so confident that once you come into its presence, you'll never be the same.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask a question. How many has experienced that love?
Yeah.
Woo! Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
See, some of us have got that love. But this love is not a natural love. See, this love, brother, me and you can have the same husband in this love.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We can fellowship with the same one. We eat at the same dinner table and nobody get jealous,
yeah,
with this lover.
Yeah.
This lover can be experienced by my children and your children.
Yeah.
And none of us get mad.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
See, the love of God. The love of God. That'll love you in a sinful condition.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Now you might be saying, well, Brother Diggs, I got all these other things going on. I got all the stuff going on in my body, all the stuff going on in my mind. But God's love is sitting there waiting for the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yes, see, when we come into the sanctuary, God is already here. That's why it behooves us to come and get in a champ.
Amen.
And see, and one thing I learned, and don't take it as a rebuke, one thing I learned about youth meetings and preaching, your children are watching how you respond to the minister.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you stand there and just look at the minister and don't say praise the Lord or however you express yourself, they know when you're getting something.
Right.
Because your child studies you.
Amen.
They know when you're excited. They know when mom is happy about daddy coming home because she'll cook a special meal or she'll do something that she doesn't ordinarily do. Because your children study you.
Yes, sir.
They know when the word is coming right down your alley.
Right.
Because you would stay at church and fellowship, but because you done got cut up, you want to hurry up and leave. Yes. Your children know that. They watch how you respond to the word.
Amen.
See, the word is a written epistle. The word is a life that's lived and is visible and is read among all men.
Amen.
See, I don't know about y'all, but I got some nosy children.
Yes, sir.
They nosy. I can't even hold my wife's hand without them coming along. I can't even give my wife a hug without my daughters wanting a hug.
Right.
I can't even talk privately and whisper to my wife without my son wondering what we're talking about. Why? Because they study us. And if they can experience some character, that character will be passed down. See, one thing I love about this message, I didn't have a father to teach me how to be a husband, but God sent me a word. Hallelujah! God sent me a love to know how to love. Glory! Oh! God sent me a love to teach me how to love. Hallelujah! God sent me a word to teach me how to be a father. Hallelujah! But one thing about them children, they watching whether you're being serenaded or not. Whether you're really getting something when you come. You know what they do? When you and your husband or your wife, you're sitting there talking, they doing like this. And then you might tell them, get out of my face, get out of my mouth. Don't look at me while I'm talking. Stop being so nosy. And then you know what they'll do? They'll walk afar off. But they still be... They still be toning in. And they'll act like they ain't watching you. But they listen.
That's right. That's good, brother.
And you might say something to your wife or to your husband. And then your child will come back and ask one or the other the same question. That's because they was listening to
you. Amen.
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 Amen. You know the prophet of God talking about parent delinquency.
Yeah.
Amen. And we haven't come to badger the parents, but how often do we give up on our child when we need to be praying for?
Amen.
Amen. When they falling in sin and they on the internet getting involved in all these other things, and you might say, well, I just got to let the Lord deal with them. Yeah, you're right. But let them deal with them through your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If it wasn't for a parent, where would we be today? Can I get an amen, Brother Jeff? Hallelujah. If it wasn't for a Lonnie, would there be a Jeff?
Right. Right.
See, I'm talking about a love.
Amen.
A love that makes God remember.
Amen.
Oh my! This love of God. He heard the people down there crying out. He heard the children of Israel down there crying out, saying, Lord, we're tired of living in sin. We're tired of living in this world. We're tired of being beat down by the devil. Lord, deliver us.
Amen. There you go.
Woo!
Amen.
Lord, deliver us. And you might not even know it, but your child goes home and get in their room and they say, Lord, deliver us.
Amen.
Lord, deliver me.
That's good. Hallelujah.
You might say, well, Brother Diggs, why they don't say it to me? Because they ain't got no confidence in you. They don't have a relationship with you. That's why they'll tell their best friend, the one that they feel comfortable around. And when they begin to feel comfortable around you, they'll express themselves more. And a lot of times while our kids don't express their selves to us because we don't have a balance when it's time to be friend or parent. You can't sway too much to the left or to the right. You can't be too much friend and you can't be too much parent. But you got to have a balance in it where you can reach them whether they need a friend or when they need a parent.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's good.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about, man.
Yes, sir.
Because see, I had to learn the same thing.
Sure.
Because when you first have kids, you want to bring them up with your conviction. Amen. And that's why a lot of us are here today, because our parents raised us with their conviction. They told us, don't smoke, don't drink, don't marry worldly women, don't marry worldly men. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is still the message.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Amen. And you raise that child with your conviction as a parent. Amen. But as a friend, fathers, you raise them up saying, come on, son, let's go shoot some basketball.
There you go.
Come on, let's go play some football. Your conviction.
There you go.
Come on, honey, take up some piano lessons. The very thing that you longed to do when you was a child.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So you're passing down your conviction. But you might have to realize that that child might not want to be a football player. That child might not want to be an organist or whatever.
Right.
See, so your relationship, it has to be like this.
Amen. Uh-huh. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. It has to come to a certain condition in life. Amen. And you know, everything that's put on the market for sale, it has to meet a certain criteria or a certain condition before it's able to go out in the public.
Right.
Hallelujah. But I'm here to say, young people and adults, I've already been a crash dummy for some of you.
Amen. Right.
Amen. I've already jumped in the car and took the crash test for you.
Amen.
But I'm here to say, on that last crash, God put me in a vehicle.
Amen.
Where I wouldn't get damaged.
Amen.
Amen. God put me in a vehicle where I could survive the crash.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Before you got that Benz or that Lexus or that Cadillac, it had to go through a crash test.
Right.
So it will be crash proof. If you got in an accident, you will survive the crash.
Right.
And young people, you might not even know it, but your parents, the saved ones, have already been a crash dummy for you. They've already went down roads that they're trying to tell you not to go down. They've already experienced women and boys and all these other things. That's why they're trying to stop you from getting in the wreck. Because if your vehicle is not prepared right, you might not survive the accident.
Amen.
That's why on the Holy Ghost is just moving.
Amen.
That's why on any kind of wreck you get in, it's good to have assurance.
Yes,
woo! It's good to have assurance. Like the prophet of God say, I ain't worried about paying the bills and getting in the grave. I'm worried about getting out.
Amen.
I ain't worried about driving the car. I'm worried about surviving the crash.
Amen.
And that's the key thing to your Christian journey in the conditions of this world.
That's right.
Because the prophet of God said, every age, every hour, there'll be a group of believers that'll meet the challenge of the word for their hour.
That's right. That's right.
And God has a young people, a middle-aged people, and an old people that has met the challenge for their generation.
Amen.
And one thing I know about young people that have walked with Moses and they've heard the word that Moses preached, they've seen the signs and miracles, and they know that it's true. They cannot be denied.
Right.
And they won't be swayed. It ain't a hip-hop gospel or Christian rock or soft rock or country Christian or whatever it is strong enough to keep them in the world.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And for those that are sneaking and think you're getting away with it, God see you. See, the enemy is trying to water down what we have. The enemy is trying to make everything acceptable when everything is not acceptable. You might just say, well, you got to let them grow up. Let them boys grow up and sow their wild oats. If he got wild oats, it might be Ishmael. So that's where you come in, parents.
Right.
Somewhere down the line, you have to stand firm and say, Lord, I'm a believer. This is what I believe. And Lord, I know that you're able to give me the results in what I believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I don't believe that you, a parent as a believer, can get to the place where you say, Lord, I just condemn them to hell.
What?
I beg your pardon.
That's right. Come on. Good preacher. Amen.
Amen.
No. The conditions of their life is there to make God remember. And as you see your child, see, one thing about a child, a son and a daughter, you ought to be able to see yourself in that child. So you shouldn't get too mad with the things that they're doing.
That's right.
Amen. Now, this is just me. But a week ago, we were in the hotel, had the minister, and we were walking up, and my kids were going to the hotel. We said, oh, shh, people in the hotel, shh, y'all too loud, shh. So they just itching to do something. You know our children here, they got to do something. You know, so they going back to the hotel. We walk, got to go way down the aisle. So they, you know, just got to get something.
Right.
And me and my wife were behind them. I looked at her, started laughing. I said, you know what? I said, what? I said, we reaping what we sow. I said, because I was a bad little boy and you was a bad little girl. And we reaping that. And see, and in those times, when they're still yet in sin, it's not so hard for the parent. Because God gives you a balance to know that he's able. No matter what you might see there in the beginning, that's not important. What's important is their end. How they end up, how they wind up. That's what's important. Because the end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing. Hallelujah. You take us. You take us Christians that are born again. We started out as rank-starting liars.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's how we started out. We started out with no revelation of God. We started out wanting more of what the devil had to offer than God. We started out running from God's presence. We started out lying, cheating, and stealing. You might say, Brother Deacon, I grew up in a Christian. I was raised in the message. That might be true. But while you was raised up in the message, and your parents say, put that cookie jar up there, I say, don't you go in them cookies. And you say, okay. And when they gone, you and your brother, you and your sister, y'all sneak up a plan of attack for them cookies. In the message now. In the message. House full of revelation. For some kind of way, you're going to divide and conquer them cookies. No matter what your parents say. So you go get them cookies, you and your sister, you and your brother. Shh. Now let's touch and agree. That came from the message. Don't you tell, I won't tell. And you take them cookies. And then your mama don't came. See, what you realize, your parents ain't already counted. Because they know the nature of an unbeliever. They know the nature. That's why when your parents say, don't do this, don't do that, don't go here, don't go there. They know some of you are going to try it anyway. Why? Because they know you and they can see themselves in you. So they just sit back and wait, all calm, cool and collected, in the message. Let you go steal the cookies. Because you disobeyed. They told you not to go in and you stole it. No, the message don't teach that. You steal the cookies and they come back in and say, who been in the cookie jar? Not me.
Yeah.
See, in the message. But some kind of way you were still able to say, not me. You say, brother, this is what you're talking about. I'm just making a point to say no matter what kind of background you came from, you had to get to know God for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Your parents, as much as they had conviction and they passed it down and they passed it down, it had to come to a place to where you had to get your own conviction.
Right.
You had to get your own revelation of this life. And the greatest story I love about that is Jehoshaphat and Asa. See, Asa passed down everything he could to Jehoshaphat. He told him about the law. He said that he was raised up in the ways of his father. Not his father Asa, but his father David. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And they passed that down from generation to generation. Like we passed down to our kids. From generation to generation. But Jehoshaphat passed it down. Asa passed it down to Jehoshaphat. He lived it and lived it. But here's the key. When that seed of God meets corruption. No matter how good the teachings of his father was, Jehoshaphat had to get his own revelation of God's greatness, right. Of God's love. That's right. That's right. And it came, see, parents, one thing we got to realize, the greatest enemy that's fighting our kids today is religious spirits. That's right. Religious spirits. You know, some people might come here in this very own church and they praise God, hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus, and then they call you up and say, what time the movie start? Right. Y'all getting quiet on that one. Somebody must be buying butter popcorn in here. Somebody must be buying hot tamales and milk jugs at the theater. He ain't gonna come and say, Brother Branham, I'm seeing the Ten Commandments. Brother Branham also said, don't follow the messenger, follow the message. But at the same time, there are certain conditions of life. And I ain't going to be too much longer. I'm about to close. So I hope y'all ain't working for a big old boom or bang or something like that. But there are certain conditions that brings God near. And you know what brings God near? Sin.
That's good.
You say, Brother D, sin? See, if there was no sin, we could never experience him as a savior. If there was no hatred, we could never experience this love. Amen. If we could never see our kids wandering out there in the world, we would never be able to experience the grace of God, the goodness and his righteousness and his justification. That's what I love. While I was yet a sinner, I was yet a believer. Y'all thank Brother Lonnie for that one. While I was yet in sin, God had already made provisions for me to step into my inheritance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But he was waiting for certain conditions to arise so he could remember.
Amen.
So he could push all that stuff back and say, here I am.
Amen.
Try me.
Amen.
Just like he did the children of Israel. He had to get them into a place to where Joseph was gone. And there was a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And he was wicked. And he knew nothing of God. And he persecuted the children of God. And he made their life rough.
Amen.
And they cried out. And they said, Lord, help me. I don't want to be in this condition. And I know that there's young people like that today. They get caught up in things that they don't want to be in. And in their heart, they're saying, Lord, help me.
Right.
And they just haven't found the courage to come and express it to God. But let me say this. God is waiting. Because he puts certain things in your way so he can justify you.
Amen.
See, justifying you is putting you in a state of you never done. Boy, you talking about some love. You mean to tell me I didn't cheat on God and God never saw it?
Right. Right.
You mean to tell me that I didn't love the world and God never saw it?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that I didn't did wrong and I didn't walk down roads I wasn't supposed to walk down and God has forgiven me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that's what you call some love.
Yeah.
When God see you doing wrong and he's just waiting for that opportunity to express that in his heart you never done it. In his heart, you never done wrong. In his heart, you've always loved him. Oh. That's what I love about God. He has a love there so great and so powerful, it'll move all sin out of the way. It'll move all doubt and unbelief out of the way. Till all you can see is Christ in your condition. Amen. How many ever lived in sin? And now you, me, we all got to a certain spot in our life where we were tired. But what made us tired? God ordaining us. God choosing us. The scripture said, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. And I've ordained you. Amen. See, God has already set you in the right place in the kingdom. But he got to have certain conditions rise up so his promise can come before his eyes. And you know what, Brother Jeff? When we were down in Detroit and we preached that meeting, God made a promise come up before his eyes.
Good.
And he moved on your heart and said, we got to have some meetings. Why? Because the condition that some of you are in.
Amen. Whew. Amen.
See, so those conditions was on a man's heart.
Yes,
and that love began to speak out and say, I got to do something for
him. Amen.
I got to move. I got to let the promise be fulfilled. See, one thing about a man that's saved and loves God, they know that the promise is unto the children. See, one thing I love about these children, when God came, God heard their cry. God said it came up to heaven. He heard all the things. They were going through all the bondage. God chose a man and said, I'm going to use you to deliver them. But what I love about that whole scene, God said, I've heard them and I've come down, but I'm sending you. So a lot of times the very person that God want to minister through and talk to you might be somebody already in your life. But God got to get the conditions right. He got to get everything right. You know how the prophet would say, everything has to be right in the vision. The red hat got to be over here. The chair got to be over. The brother got to be coming through the door. And all the conditions got to be right for God to move. And if you are on the internet watching pornography, the conditions in your life might be just right for God to move.
Amen.
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 If the world is pulling on you and telling you you need to come out and experience, the conditions in your life might be just right for God to move.
Amen.
That don't, just because you're going through trouble, that don't mean you're not seed.
Amen.
We all went through trouble. We all went through something. Something, if like I was saying in one church, we get up here and begin to testify about all the sin we've done, people run out of this church. Bunch of sinners. But why are we here now? Because of the love of God. And what I love about God, there's certain things about me you will never know unless I tell you. And I'm going to express God's love before I close real quick. God's love allowed me, even when I was yet a sinner, God came and introduced himself when I had brain cancer.
Right.
When I had a tumor in my brain, God's love came into my hospital room.
Right. Yeah.
God's love wanted to show me that he was not only a savior, but he was also a healer.
Amen.
And a deliverer that didn't need no chemotherapy, that didn't need no radiation treatment. He had already put the faith inside of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But it took a certain condition to bring it out.
Amen.
So the devil don't get no credit. You say, well, you got scars. My scars in the back of my head speaks of victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Them 27 staplers I had in my head, Brother Lonnie, types out victory.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what kind of sickness might come my way, God has already defeated it.
Amen.
So it don't matter what kind of condition you in, we got a love that'll overpower any of it. We got a sweet smelling savior that's way better than any kind of perfume you can buy.
Amen.
We got a God from glory that's so handsome, that's way handsome than any other man you can meet. Way more powerful than any bodybuilder you can ever see.
Amen.
His word is way more beautiful than any other woman walking down this street out here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
and the food that he serves is way better than any food any woman could ever cook.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know how they say, sister, wait till a man's heart is what? Do his stomach. And spiritually, God has put his word inside of us. Amen. Because there comes a place in your life where your memory begins to work. Where does that memory of loving God come from? It comes from Adam. See, Adam was in the presence of God, but Adam sinned and he walked out of the garden. But he walked out of the garden remembering how good God was. And he passed down that memory to you and I from generation to generation. And we got to a place to where we long to get back in God's presence.
Amen.
But it takes a certain condition. Amen. And I'm about to close. But just to show how powerful the conditions of life is. See, right now, we at this presidential thing and all this stuff going on. You know, some of us looking at Hillary getting in, and we don't know if the Catholic Church is going to take over and all that stuff. See, we're in a place to where we're looking for this message to be fulfilled. We know it's going to be fulfilled. We way past the egg-shaped cars. We way past immoral women and men. We're waiting on the next step to get out of here. Why? Because the conditions are right for a rapture. So if the conditions are right for a rapture, why? How do we know that? Because we can see Sodom and Gomorrah on the earth right now.
Amen.
And he said, when we see that, even so, when the Son of Man is revealed.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what? I ain't mad at the gay people. Mm-mm, no. I ain't mad at lesbians. I ain't mad at them. They fulfilling their part of the word.
That's right.
Woo! So what that tells me, if they're fulfilling their part of the word, the conditions are right for me to fulfill my part of the word. Hallelujah! And my part of the word tells me I'm the head and not the tail. I come from above and not from beneath. Amen. That God has given us a ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
So I don't come to church to waste time. I come to church to be the voice of the living God.
Amen.
Amen. I come to church, like Brother Brown said, Calvary gave us the right to impart eternal life.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. So when I step behind this pulpit, I'm looking for God to move.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's why you got to master your own human ability and know that you're nothing. Know that you can bring nothing to the table. All you can do is get out of God's way and let him express his love.
Amen.
But the conditions are right. And I don't want to go too deep into this stuff, but the Pope has just stepped back over to America again.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Why? Always trying to forerun God move.
Right.
Yeah. The devil himself. Stepping back in your land, squatting in your promised land all over again. God has told you, I've given you the land. Parents, he's given you the land. He's given you your children.
Amen.
But you're looking at all the other stuff that's going on in the world. You say, oh, they this and that. I got the homeschool and, oh, he got a worldly girlfriend. And, oh, Lord, she got this boy that won't just leave her alone. I feel like God told Moses, why cries thou to me? Speak and move forward. Hallelujah. See, this message, this word, it has to come off the pages.
Amen.
See, we're in an hour now where all things are in. We got demons in our land. Notice I say in our land. God has given us the earth. That's what the Bible say. He's given us the earth. But we got demons in our land. And the reason why God left those demons there, because he wants to fight. He wants to be proven. Young people, he wants you to fight for your inheritance. He don't want you to give up. He don't want you to get tossed aside. Listen to that. Somebody listening to Christian rock up in here. Let me tell you something. You be careful with that music you listen to. You say you might like some Kirk Franklin or some Ty Tribbett or some shaking and some dancing or whatever, and some this and some that. Some Christian rock or rap or gospel rap. You know, rap music has the spirit of murder behind it. See, a lot of your young people, they don't realize that. They think the beats are good and the rhymes are good. But the people that have given themselves over to the devil, those ones that are the children of perdition, those ones that are not going to come into this, the ones that the enemy is using, they listen to that rap music. Gang members, if you know a gang member, what they say is they listen to the rap music and they get to jumping around, and then they say, let's go shoot somebody. Why? Because that spirit comes off the records into their spirit. And then they go operate in what the song say. And the song might be talking about blasting somebody or shooting somebody or slapping your mama, and they walk in the house and slap their mama. Or they go out and shoot somebody. Why? Because that spirit has got on them. Rap music has a spirit of murder on it. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother D, I don't listen. I like soft. You know, back in the days, we had some real good. We had Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers and some Garth Brooks. We had some good music. That laid back R&B music and all that stuff. That got the spirit of lust on it.
Right.
Talking about getting alone and you and your wife. Once that spirit get on you, you can't hardly look at your wife no more because you got a spirit of lust on you. Everything go by you. Why? Because you got that spirit on.
Right.
You say, well, Brother D, I just like some country, some good old country music. Country music got the spirit of depression on it.
Yeah.
Because all they talk about, my boyfriend left me and my girlfriend gone.
Yeah.
You might as well say amen.
Amen.
You got the spirit of depression on it. And from depression comes suicide. Hallelujah. So while you get, see, one thing about this stuff, the devil is trying to get you in, oh my, the devil is trying to get you in the inspiration of the songwriter.
Right.
You hear all these people say, well, I wrote this song when I was going through this. Well, I wrote this song when I was going, that was the inspiration they was under. And if you are listening to that, and you listen to that spirit of depression comes upon you, the next thing is suicide. Because once you get in that scene, that inspiration is going to carry out the rest of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Diggs, I just listen to some soft rock or some rock and roll. I got the spirit of fanaticism behind. And drugs. That's why when they play, they like that chord. Ah! See, it just don't it just sound wild? See, it has a spirit of whoredom behind them. Ah! That's why when they play, they. And then as they do, that's come on, y'all, let's go do some acid. Amen. But you know what? Those conditions are just right for you and I when we come into church and we sing Amazing Grace and the power of the Holy Spirit comes down on us. If the devil can come down on his people, why can't God come down on his? If the devil can come down on his children, why can't God come down on our children? When the conditions are right, make God remember his promise where he swore by himself.
Amen.
He told Abraham, since I couldn't swear by no greater, I swear by myself.
Amen.
You say, how are my children going to get saved? God going to do it.
Yes,
how am my husband going to get saved? God going to do it.
Amen.
How am my wife going to get saved? God going to do it.
Yes,
how am I going to persevere? God going to do it.
Yes,
how am I going to stop fornicating? God going to do it. How am I going to stop lying? God going to do it.
Yes,
God's going to do it.
Yes,
oh, yes. But I'm here to say, in some lives, God has already did it. He's already made a way. He just wants you to recognize the conditions. The water is just right. See, he don't want us to be like the man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus saying, would I be made whole? He's talking about, I ain't got nobody to put me in the water. The mighty angel was right there in his face.
Amen. That's right.
He didn't send an angel to do this one. The mighty angel came down.
Amen.
Oh my, and the conditions are just right. I feel the power of God moving in here. The conditions are just right. For you that might not have an experience with God, we have water right here.
Amen.
What are you waiting on?
Amen.
God can deal with you this night. You ain't got to see no pillar of fire. You ain't got to have no special speaker. All you got to do is hear God calling.
Amen.
And he's calling right now. The conditions are right for you to be made whole. The conditions are right for you to step into a birth.
Yes. That's right.
It don't matter whether you come from a broken home. Your mom and daddy are divorced and all this. God put you in those conditions so he can bring out the best in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo. I feel the thunder of God coming down.
Amen.
Don't harden your heart. God is moving. God wants somebody to surrender.
Yes, sir.
When the conditions are right, God steps on the scene. There's a woman in the Bible in Samaria. I like how the scripture put it. It said, he must needs go through Samaria. He said it was a need there. And he wasn't worried about sending a big name preacher or somebody in the 5-4 ministry or one of the disciples. He said, I'm going to do this myself.
Amen.
I don't need no help.
Amen.
It's going to be all me. Because when they get saved, they ain't going to come to man. They're going to come to Christ.
Amen.
Woo! So he must needs. And let me say this. It don't matter what your child is. It don't matter what your family, husband, this and that. It don't take long for God to pour out his love.
Amen.
If you want to receive it. That woman was at the well. Her first problem was she had a problem with race.
Right.
Jesus trying to deal with her. She talking about, is the Jews and Samaritans, we ain't got no dealing.
Yeah. Right.
But Jesus kept on talking to her. Woo! That's what I love about that love. It ain't easily rejected. It ain't easily pushed off. But it'll stand firm.
Amen.
That love Jesus got is burning. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
It stood there. She said, we ain't got no dealings with each other. You asked me for some water. Jesus went on down and kept on talking. Jesus said, go get your husband. See, she was in a bad condition. She was in a real bad condition. She said, I ain't got no husband. Jesus said, yeah, I know. You got 5 and the one you with ain't yours now. She said, I perceive you to be a prophet.
Right.
Amen.
See, the condition was moving out.
Amen.
The condition was getting just right for her to step into her deliverance.
Amen.
Woo! But Jesus didn't let it go with that. He kept on talking to her.
Amen.
You know, Jesus breaking some things down to her. She said, I perceive you to be a prophet. Where all this word coming from a prostitute?
Come on.
Where all that faith coming from out of a prostitute?
Amen.
God had already put it there before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
But it took her to get in a certain condition where she could meet Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what he did? Woo! You know what he did? He started working with her memory.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh. He was bringing up a memory. And then she said, our fathers teach us to say that when the Messiah comes, he'll do these things. See that? Somebody that was living in sin. Somebody that looked like old heathen. Somebody that looked like they had nothing to do with God. Surfing the net every night. When all these, you know how some kids, when they depressed, and they, what they call that stuff, garf, where they wearing all black and all that stuff? Look like they can never be saved? He must needs. She looked like a nobody to the people in the city. But once she came in contact with Jesus, by her words, the rest of the city came out to see what Jesus has done. Because she ran out saying, I found the Savior, the Messiah. Amen. And he told me all I've ever done.
Amen. Amen.
And he didn't condemn her. He already knew she was condemned. But he came to set her free.
Amen.
Young people, we ain't come to condemn you. We come to set you free.
Amen.
Amen. No greater love than this love. Where you can walk down the street not condemned. Where you can listen to the right kind of music and ain't worried about who watching you. You ain't got to hurry up and change the radio when the preachers come around. Somebody sneaking in here. Talking about some soft rock. Like I heard my brother say, let's go out the door and let me throw a rock at you. We'll see which one's soft. Soft rock. Devil, just a lie.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nothing soft about that stuff once it get in your spirit.
Right.
I'm trying to see what time it is, y'all, so I can close. But I feel the pull of the spirit.
Amen.
I feel like somebody's conditions is just right for them to drink from that living water.
Amen.
Amen. But there was another woman in the Bible. She also was a prostitute. But God made certain conditions arise in Jericho. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Brother Ram said one thing about Rahab. She was in a condition she didn't want to be in. He said she probably had a sick mother and a sick father, and that drove her into ill-famed living to support her family. Now let me ask you, what's driving you to live the way you live? What's your excuse? But even in all that, there was a seed down in there. But it took a certain conditions of life to bring God on the scene, to make God remember his promise. The men came, and Rahab said, we have heard all that your God has done. We have heard, hallelujah, we've heard what God done in Detroit, but now we see red hair.
Amen.
Amen.
We have heard about services of old. We've heard about how mom and dad have received the Holy Ghost. What about right now? God has already tore down the walls of Jericho.
Amen.
What about right now? Rahab. Well, a little about Rahab. Rahab said, we didn't hear, and all the men's heart melt. Everybody scared. She said, but not me. I want what y'all got.
Right.
Rahab said, I want what y'all got. A prostitute?
Yes,
ill-famed woman?
Yes, sir.
I want what you got. They said, okay. She said, give me a true token. But listen to her words. That my father's house will be saved. See, she wasn't selfish. She wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about all of her loved ones. Amen. She not only wanted to be saved, but she wanted her mother saved, her father saved, her sister, her brother, everybody that she was affiliated with. Give me a true token. And God has given us a true token.
He
said, the Holy Ghost is unto you and to those who are far off. Hallelujah. There's some of you that got saved way before. Brother Erickson, you might have been saved way before me, but I had a promise.
Amen.
And when my season came and the condition was right, it wasn't a devil in hell strong enough to keep me bound in sin.
Amen.
And it wasn't a demon. It wasn't a man fine enough or burly enough or strong enough to keep Rahab in Jericho. Rahab said, give me a true token. They said, okay, this is the key. You wonder why your parents treat you the way they treat you? Because they say, this is the key. Our life for your life. If you don't utter our business, we give you a true token. But our life for your life. And that's what's going on right now. We give our life for your life. We'll fight devils. We'll pray all night. We'll fast and pray. We'll pray over services. We'll give our life. We'll stop eating. We'll do all these things for your life.
Amen.
We have special meetings and special services that you might get this God that we have.
Amen.
Rahab said, okay. And in closing, I know I said it 3 times. Sorry, honey. My wife said, stop saying that. Say you're going to close and then you keep on preaching. Say you're going to close and keep on preaching. Honey, you don't understand if people be pulling.
Amen.
She's just trying to help me not to look like a liar.
Right.
Amen. What I love about Rahab, like we said, the next step belonged to God. Amen. She done all that she was supposed to do. And then they came in and they told the city upside down. So there wasn't nothing else standing but that true token in Rahab's house.
Amen.
And they say, bring out Rahab and all her family. Now she's a part of us.
Amen.
You know what I love about Rahab? And you know, I preach this all the time. Some of you might have heard. But Rahab, she had a lot of critics.
Right.
They know what she used to be. They knew what she used to did and all these other things. You know, like these religious people, these religious spirits, where they know what you used to do, or they saw you tell a lie.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they had the Holy Ghost. See, one thing I love about God, it ain't no problem, it ain't no excuse that you can keep in this day. Because you might say, well, I got a lie. So I can't stop lying, Brother Dick. I just lie for no reason. I don't know why I lie. Well, so did Abraham, and God didn't impute it to him. Hallelujah. You might say, well, I got religious spirits on me. If I don't hear the preacher reading certain quotes and different things, I just can't get it. Well, so did Paul, and God allowed him to write half of the New Testament. You might say, well, I got a promiscuous life and I got lust demons on me and all these things. Well, so did Rahab, and God delivered her and allowed the lineage of the Christ Jesus to come through her.
Amen.
Oh!
Amen.
So what's your excuse? What's your excuse tonight? If you don't have Jesus, what are you waiting on?
Right.
The conditions are right.
Amen.
God has remembered his promise. That in that day, the Holy Ghost will be poured out on all flesh.
Amen.
Not only on here, but in your soul.
Amen.
The conditions are right. Let the musicians come. Rahab, she was probably being accused, had a lot of critics. Because you realize, God brought her into something new. Had all these other people that never done no wrong, raised up in message houses, and you know, some of their children never went out in the world. You looking at yourself saying, man, how did I just messed up? I done did this, I done did that. And you imagine Rahab felt like that, standing in the midst of all these virtuous women, never done no wrong. And they walking by with their head up in the air, looking down on her, because they know she done lived in sin. She didn't give up her virtue and all these different things. But when the word came, she was tender enough to know that it was the Lord and not a man. She was tender enough to know that this was salvation knocking on her door. So Rahab had the testimony to say, y'all know what? I'm tired of y'all always bringing up the past. I'm tired of y'all always talking about what I used to be. I'm tired of y'all talking about this man, I slept with that man, and this and that, and I used to this, and I used to that, I used to porno, I used to this, and videos, and I used to that, and I used to moves, I used to that. She said, I ain't living under all that stuff no more. She said, yeah, I might have had this man and that man. She said, but I tell you what, go find one I slept with. Go find one I slept with. You go find one man that got the rights to say he been with me. You know what? Right then and there, she shed all of them out. Because when God destroyed Jericho,
there you go.
Amen.
He destroyed her past.
Amen.
He destroyed every man she slept with, every problem she had, every doubt, every bit of unbelief. God destroyed it in Jericho.
Amen. That's good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the conditions made her a new creation in Christ.
Praise God. Amen.
And then she married a general in the kingdom. My. Probably the very man all the women wanted. But he didn't want him. He wanted somebody that had a testimony. He wanted somebody that had an experience with God. He wanted somebody that knew how to cook. Hallelujah. Rahab. Through Rahab come Boaz. Boaz and Ruth, talking about the kinsman redeemer. And through their lineage, on down Jesse, David, then Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So what, Brother Deeds, you mean to tell me that Christ can come out of my life? Yeah, God will take your mess and make it a blessing to the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You with me, Rap?
Yes, sir.
So, young people, let your mess of what you in tonight be a blessing to that next person that gonna come behind you and say, I was in this and I was in that. And then you can come and say, I was also in it, but God delivered me. My season came. My conditions were just right. And God came down and he heard my cry. Woo! He heard my cry. God heard my cry. I lived in the world. You know what? At a young age, I got tired of living in the world. Where did that come from? It came from the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the day that the Lord has made. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. But for some reason, you're remaining still. You know you're in a troubled situation. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. and you just won't come. Brother Branham said, that's the devil holding you. I wanted to say it real plain like that. So the reason that you're not coming free tonight is because Satan is holding you. But if you got enough courage to break free from the enemy tonight, break free and let God change the conditions.
I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. I can say without a doubt that every single person here, that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. In many ways, you were both encouraged and you were convicted. How many can say that while the word was going forth, you felt the Holy Spirit saying, get the compromise out of your life? While your heads are bowed, would you raise your hand? That's good. Get the compromise out of your life. See, that was the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? And you know it's time, don't you? You cannot keep going in a circle. You've got to make a straight beeline for the things of God. Totally focused. Get the compromise out of your life. There are some coming to the altar. If you'd like to come, I'd like to pray with you too. To get the compromise out of your life. You can come. We're going to pray for you. Brother Diggs is going to pray for you. Also, I'd like to ask the question, how many of those of you are here that would say, I was formerly backslid? But after tonight's message, I want to make a thorough and complete commitment to Jesus Christ. See, this is just a pastor. The word has gone forth. Now, if you've been backslid, would you raise your hand? All right? Why don't you come forward so we can pray? It's a good thing to make a public testimony like that. It's telling the devil and everybody else you're not ashamed. So you're going to make a complete and thorough commitment to Jesus Christ and get those things out of your life. Just to have a purging by the Holy Spirit. The word's gone forth. Minister, brethren, I don't know who all are here, but if you'd just come and pray with these as well, I'd appreciate it. Let's get the compromise out of our life. Hallelujah. Good preaching tonight. Good, solid preaching. You know what the Holy Spirit was doing, don't you? He was going out seeking and saving those that are backslid, compromised, perhaps even lost. You stay at that altar. Just make a commitment to Christ now. God is good, isn't He? God will meet you because you're now in a position where you want to meet Him. And that's wonderful. That's exciting. That's precious. Hallelujah. Brother Paul, would you come? I want to pray with these here at the altar too. I want all those of you that are sitting in your seat to pray for those that are at the altar. Will you please? You just lift them up. Some of you perhaps know them. So you pray for them. I want to go and pray with them as well. Just take the moment now to just generate a spirit, an atmosphere of prayer, where lives can be changed, where births can take place. See, births take place in the right atmosphere. So you just create that atmosphere of prayer right now. And while you're praying, pray for yourself as well. Don't let Laodicea or the things of this world or by anything, don't let some religious spirit. Be solid, be burly, be strong, be convicted. If the Lord is speaking to you, then answer Him. Answer Him.
Just a part. Yes, he knows.
God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in our loved ones' lives, what you're doing in our personal walk with you every day. Lord, we can testify to you that you do all things well. You know, Lord, when to strengthen. You know when to humble. You know when to exalt. You know when to abase. You know when we need correction. You know when we need your embrace. And Lord Jesus, you spoke. The love of God spoke. The love of God spoke tonight. And your children responded to that love. And Lord, bless my brother Kaidri. Bless his dear wife and their three lovely children. And God Almighty, as we come back tomorrow, Lord, we come back because, Lord Jesus, we're going to need you as we do every hour. And we understand the power of the preaching of the Word of God. We know that there's a power, for you said this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We know that we're saved by the foolishness of preaching. We know that while the word was being spoke, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We know you send out your word and you heal us. God, I believe tonight that cancer was healed. I believe tonight that folks were filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe tonight that souls that were lost gave their hearts to Jesus. I believe those that were under a compromising spirit are now free from that spirit. I believe those that are under a religious spirit are now more sincere than ever before. I believe those that were under spirits of demons of lust were set free this evening, because it's all in your word. So Lord, we're grateful and we thank you for what you've done in the simple preaching of the word of God and how you are truly hidden and revealed in simplicity. And we want to testify, Lord Jesus, with our hands raised, how much we love you, how much we praise you. Lord, you are so wise and you are truly so patient, and your love is not influenced. We cannot influence your love negatively. We cannot influence your love positively. Your love is an everlasting love. Your love is an elective love, and we are embraced by that knowledge. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the revelation that we were in your mind before the foundations of the world. And by your grace tonight and tomorrow and the next day and years to come, if you should tarry, we will respond to your love. God, keep us tender. Don't let a soul under my voice have a hard heart. Take all bitterness and wrath and clamor away. Let there not be one soul here with strife or sedition. Not one soul here with bitterness or anger. Lord, I pray that every soul here, that as they have been forgiven, that they can forgive as well. Lord God, give them the ability to forgive every man their trespasses, that they might be free, that they might be able to raise hands without doubt, without wrath. I pray, Lord Jesus, that every person here would have a greater faith tonight than when they first came into the building. We thank you, Lord, for the word of life. We thank you for this time together. We can say from our hearts, we are grateful. And it is with gratitude that we pray to you. And it is with gratitude that we live for you. We pray that you continue to do a work in every heart and life. As we know, Lord Jesus, we may gather as a church. We may come together as assembly. But we also know it's an individual and personal affair between us and Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that each one would share the life that you've given them to others. Lord Jesus, it's not so much the preaching or the teaching as it is the sharing of the truth, the radiating of life that is in us, Lord God, that we want to project that love and know that that sovereign grace will take its place. We love you, Father. We commit our lives to you. Bring us back tomorrow, Lord Jesus, to hear the wonderful words of life. We ask it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Let's just sing that as we dismiss you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say to the sister churches, Brother Ray, Brother Craig, thank you for coming and creating an atmosphere so that God can move here and that lives could be touched. I appreciate that so much. And may the Lord bless you. And just continue to pray for one another. Pray for each other, that God would just get us ready. How many believe, as Brother Kidry said tonight, the Lord could come any moment? To me, if Hillary Clinton gets in office, it could very well be the fulfilling of that vision that the prophet saw. If it's not the fulfilling, then it's a shadow and then how much closer we are to its reality. How close are we to the change in the body? We know Jesus is here in bride form. We already know there's been a rapture spiritually. We're just waiting for the catching away. The secret catching away of the bride of Jesus Christ. After that, it's craters and debris from border to border, coast to coast. How many read in your paper? They said that that Los Angeles is going to have the largest earthquake it's had within the next 30 years. That was in our paper. That's what the scientists are saying. We know that that could be tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I'd say look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. You know what? It shouldn't take the fear of the anticipation of His coming to bring you to Jesus if you're backslid. It should just simply be a revelation that says, I love Him. And He's worthy of my full and complete surrender. But God is good to give us incentives. He gives us the preaching of the Word. He heals our bodies. And He even gives us the signs of the times to let us know how close we are to His coming. It's a wonderful time. Brother Branham called this age the golden age. There's never been an age like this age to know what we know and to be able to embrace the Jesus that we are embracing today. It's not theology. Remember, they didn't read the book, they ate the book. We're eating the book. We're becoming one with His Word. Amen. God bless you. 7 o'clock tomorrow, if you can make it. The Lord richly bless you. Have good fellowship this evening. Amen. My Redeemer, He is faithful and true, and everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer, He's faithful. Sing it again now. My Redeemer, He's faithful and true.
want you more than any other so much.